This morning I'd like to ask you, have you ever noticed how easy it is to take something that is complicated or difficult and make it sound so simple? You know what I mean? Take, for instance, the game of golf. How do you play golf? Well, you just get up and you hit the ball and you knock it in the hole, right? What are you laughing at, you who play golf? You raise your hand and say, hey, wait a minute. There's more to it than that. And you start talking about club selection. And you talk about distance from the green. And you talk about grip techniques and all the things you can and shouldn't do there. And how to stand and how to line the ball up just right. And a dozen things you can do with your swing and things to do, not to do. Keep your head down. You talk about that. And you talk about the lay of the land. And you talk about the slope of the green and reading the green. And on you go into 1,000 details that go into playing the game of golf, right? Well, you can do that with other things. Cooking. Well, to cook, all you do is you just buy some food and you throw it all together and you heat it up and you eat it. The experienced cook says, hey, whoa, wait a minute. There's more to it than that. Or you want to be a doctor? Want to be a doctor? All you do is just graduate from college and then go to medical school. No, it's immensely more complicated than that, isn't it? How about when it's time to fill out your taxes? You just get a piece of paper, you write down a bunch of numbers, and you send it in, right? No. My favorite example, though, is when my son Mark was real little, and he advocated us buying something that was real expensive. And I explained to him, I said, well, Mark, right at the present time, we don't have enough money to buy that and do that. He said, well, just write a check. Son, let me tell you how checking accounts work here, okay? Yeah. You know what we call it when you take something that's really complicated or difficult, or there's a whole lot to it, and you reduce it to a simple statement? That's called reductionism. Okay? Reductionism. And we do it every day. We take immensely complicated things, and we describe them as if they're just real simple, real easy. Now, Jesus Christ was a man who knew every time he was being asked a question, he knew whether the question was sincere, or he knew whether or not he was being tested, whether he was being baited, you know. And here it's happening to him again. In Matthew 22, we're reading along here, and he's asked a question by a lawyer, an expert in the law, testing him, and he asks a question. Apparently, Jesus thought, even though he was being tested, he thought the question must be valid. He thought it must be an important question to answer. So he answered it. And he answered it directly and very completely in a short way. He said, okay, which is the greatest commandment in the law? He said, yes. It boils down to, number one, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Oh, and number two is really just like it. Number two is love your neighbor as much as you already love yourself. You know, all the stuff in the law and the prophets just hangs on these two things. That's it. Sounds so easy, doesn't it? Was Jesus engaging in reductionism by giving an answer such as that? We are knee-deep in politics right now. And it's like asking the presidential candidates what they want for America. You know what the simple answer is they're given every time? Peace and prosperity. That's it. If you ask them to get it in a nutshell, peace and prosperity. But what is peace? And they go on to define peace in certain ways and how we achieve peace. What is prosperity and how do we maintain it or reach it or keep it? And they go into a lot of details. And basically that boils down to is my opponent is a dummy and has all these stupid ideas that just really won't work and you'd be really dangerous in office, so you ought to elect me, right? They like to simplify it for us. My ideas make perfect sense. And the devil's in the details, vote for my details, right? Can we reduce things too simply? Yeah, we can. Wonder if Jesus was doing that here. You know, there are people who say all these differences in religion between religious faith groups, for instance, or between Christian groups and bodies, they cause so much mischief. They cause so much trouble for the world. We would be a whole lot better off if we would just concentrate on the basics and just get it right together about what's really important. And therefore, they try to cut off all the stuff that has to do with the differences in religions and faiths and different groups and so forth. And it's no surprise that they would love Jesus' answer here in Matthew 22, the way he answered this question. And they might just say, well, if you just love God completely and you love your neighbor as yourself, that's it. And we'll all live happily ever after. Is it that simple? Take something like the word love. What does it mean to love somebody? Can't we reduce that to a simple little word and phrase and idea? Is it true, as the old Beatles song goes, all you need is love? All you need is love. And on they sing, all you need is love, right? You know how hard that is? You know that the Beatles couldn't even do it with each other? Especially John and Paul, they ended up hating each other. They couldn't get along. They had to split. They had to go their separate ways. They weren't friends any longer. All you need is love. They didn't live it. They didn't believe it. You talk to two people who've been married for a long time, been married together many, many years, and you look at those two people and you say, well, you know, all you need is love. And everything's fine. And you know very well, you'll get a smile back or a laugh or something like that. And you say, yeah, well, that's true. But did you know how complicated love is? You know how much work it is? Do you know how much, how involved it is, how intricate and complex and how intertwined these confluence of relationships are with each other? Yeah, marriage, there's a whole lot to it. But love, we might think we know what love is, but when we meet Jesus, that's when we really find out what love is. And there is a whole lot to it. He demonstrated it, and he did an awful lot of things. He embodied love. And my goodness, the acts and the works and the things that he did on behalf of people and for people and all the stuff he said. Well, they had to write a couple books about it, didn't they? And then they said that all the books in the world couldn't even hold all the things that Jesus said and did. So don't tell me that love is simple, not when you look at Jesus Christ. He didn't just boil it down to a simple strategy that says, well, you just find the best in everybody and we'll all be okay. No. He talked about stuff like somebody smacks you, turn the other cheek. Oh, that's easy. He said, well, you know, when you're compelled to go the mile, just go the second mile. Even though you didn't want to go the first mile in the first place, go the second mile and be happy about it. Forgive your enemies. Oh, come on. She doesn't deserve it. He didn't even ask for forgiveness. Why should I forgive him? Pray for those who persecute you. Oh, come on. This is getting more complicated every time Jesus opens his mouth. Give without expecting anything in return? What? What kind of investment is that? And on he talks, and on he goes. And he defines love in a multitude of ways. So how come when the guy asked this question, he gave the kind of answer that he did? It's truly amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, I kind of wonder if this lawyer didn't show up with a great big fat book of the law tucked under his arm. You know, maybe a scroll that contained a whole lot of the books of the law. And, you know, this lawyer shows up with all the law books, carrying it with him like that, because the Jews had an awful lot of laws, you know, kosher laws, dietary restrictions, things that they were supposed to do on the Sabbath, not do on the Sabbath, things they were supposed to say and do in certain times and certain relationships. They had hundreds and hundreds of laws. And maybe this teacher of the law just kind of patted this thing and says, hey, Jesus, Kind of tell me here, boy, if you would, please. Can you boil it down to me? Can you give it to me in a nutshell? Can you just say the one thing that all this right here is trying to say? Can you do that for me? And that's when Jesus said what he said. And said, greatest commandment. Love God. Love your neighbor. Neighbor? Wait a minute, I got a question. It's not here in Matthew, but it's here in another gospel. There was a lawyer who knew there had to be more to it than that. He said, okay, fine and dandy. Who's my neighbor? Simple question. Who is my neighbor? Well, you and I would probably say, hey, yeah, my neighbor is a nice guy. Looks like me, sounds like me, lives down the street, has a good paying job. My neighbor is somebody who takes care of himself and takes care of his family. My neighbor is somebody who minds his own business and doesn't get into mine. My neighbor is pleasant and friendly and agrees with me when we talk religion and when we talk politics. That's my neighbor. And Jesus says, no. Now he told a story. And he said, no, I'll tell you who your neighbor is. Your neighbor is some guy that you've never met before. And your neighbor is lying in a ditch alongside the road because he was dumb enough to walk by himself in a rough neighborhood from Jerusalem to Jericho. Idiot. What's he doing out here by himself? Dumb as can be. Not only that, he's half naked, he's half dead, and helping him is going to be a real hassle. You don't even know this guy. Helping him is going to be a hassle. You're at risk of being mugged, too, if you hang around too much in this neighborhood. He's a stinking mess. You don't even know if he's going to live, if he's going to make it. And you have to go out of your way to help him. And you have to pay for his transportation to get him to the hospital. And when he gets to the hospital, you are going to pay for his medical expenses. Oh, that's your neighbor. And you go, whoa, boy, there's a whole lot more to it than I thought. In another episode, you remember Jesus encountered a rich young ruler. Well, that's the summary of all of what he was, apparently. And this young man asked him, okay, now tell me, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus gave him a simple answer. Keep the commandments. You know, the commandments, 1, 2, 3. And the young man said, I've done it. I'm doing it. He says, okay, I'll get right to it. As complicated as it is for you, how it applies to your life, what I want you to do, sell all you have and give it to the poor. And then you come follow me. Young man saw what? Whoa, it's a whole lot more complicated. It's a whole lot more difficult than I thought. And did he do it? No, he didn't. You know, some of you have been walking with Jesus for a long time, and you've heard the teachings of Jesus over and over again. And you've sat through a lot of sermons, and you've read a lot of the Bible, and you've been in a lot of Bible studies, and haven't you come to realize that there's nothing real simple about Jesus? There's something always more to discover about Jesus. And what he says love is, and how to do it, and how very demanding he can be. The crowds that followed Jesus when he on the campaign trail were just by the thousands and thousands. He was really, really popular. And the more specific he got, and the more he detailed what it means to be his follower, the fewer people showed up at his rallies. And they said, oh, this is harder than I first thought. I think I'll go do something else. And it all boiled down and boiled away until he only had a few followers with him. And then when it really got down to the nitty-gritty of what love is all about, when it really got down to the difficult work of paying for the sins of other people on the cross, he's alone. Because nobody wants to go where Jesus wants us to go. You've been studying this a long time, haven't you? Ain't it the truth? It's too hard. It's too much work. And honestly, isn't that how you feel about Jesus? Isn't that why you've been keeping him at arm's length? You know, don't let him get too close. Isn't that why you've stayed in the shallow end of the pool of faith? It's a lot more work to get into the deep water, isn't it? You got to work a lot harder to swim. And that's why you still read Jesus on a first grade level. And he wants you to step it up. He wants you to ramp it up. It's more complicated and involved, and it's harder to get the longer you get into it. Now, please realize this today, that Jesus calls you to struggle with this. Struggle very, very hard. But you and I don't want to hear. I love Matthew 22, 46, the last verse that Susan read from the Word today. What does it say? They keep asking him all these questions. He'd give their answers. And finally, no one could say a word in reply to Jesus. And from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. I don't know, but that makes me laugh. Nobody dared ask Jesus any more questions. I suspect that one of the reasons was they said, Lord, I've heard enough. I don't like what I hear. I can't get the best of this guy. But, hey, enough is enough. Have you ever started a project and you thought it was going to be pretty simple? Yeah, let's build a house. Yeah, let's get a contractor and build a house. And when you get into the details of building a house, you find out you got to decide this, and there's that problem, and there's that difficulty, and you find out that it's a whole lot more complicated than you ever wanted it to be, and you want to just say, oh, I wish I'd never started this thing. I wish I'd never undertaken this project. Well, it's possible to do that with the Christian life. Yeah, I want to be a Christian. But when you get into the nitty-gritty, when you get into the details, when you get into the hard tasks, you find yourself saying, you know, I really got to stop asking Jesus any more questions. Can you and I move on beyond that today? Can you kind of take your hands away from your ears? Can you kind of take your hands away from your eyes and see more about Jesus? I promise you, it is really, really hard. A lot of risks along the way, a lot of difficulties, a lot of dark times. This is not easy. But he wants you to step it up. He wants you to keep on going with him. It ain't easy, but it sure is worth it. It sure is worth it. Just say to yourself, amen, and then bow your heads with me in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, why do you keep coming to us the way you do? Why do you keep on speaking? Father, thank you for loving us that much to do it. Father, may we love you back, and may we listen, and may we learn. We thank you for this complex, difficult task. We thank you that you've deemed us worthy of taking it on. Now bless us, Lord, we pray, each step of the way. Help us to be your people completely. In Jesus' name, amen.